When you see I-A-N at the end of a name, that's an Armenian name. Armenia is a country up near Turkey, up in that area. I-A-M. We used to have a governor in California. His name was Duke Majian. There was a former coach at Notre Dame. His name was Parsegian, Matosian, Bogosian, Tamisian, Katabjian, Harimian. Those are relatives of mine. I learned early in life people are going to have trouble with my last name. Probably as early as kindergarten. Well, you go to class, teacher's got the little 3x5 cards arranged alphabetically, checking out who the new students are, going through the alphabet, calling them out. Gets toward the end of the alphabet. Smith.
Here.
Sturdivant.
Here.
Don. So that's when I learned people are going to have trouble. Up until then, everybody in my house could say it, so that was not a problem. So if you want to talk to me, you can call me Don. You know, if you're a student of mine and you're still bowing and scraping, you can call me Dr. Sanukian. But actually, we have thoroughly enjoyed having your pastor on our campus. He is an outstanding fellow. Not only for his abilities, but also for the way he is kind and encouraging to the other students. He is a pastor on campus as well as here. So we thank you for him. We thoroughly enjoy him. This morning, let's imagine that you have a choice. There are two directions open to you on a particular matter. Two ways you can go on it. And you have to decide which way, what choice, which direction am I going to go on this? And as you think about it, one of the directions, one of the choices, one of the options open to you, that's the one God would want you to take. The Bible says that would be the right choice. Something inside you, you know, the Spirit is kind of telling you that's the way you ought to go. But as you look down that path, if you go that way, it won't work. You won't get what you want. Now, the other option you have, the other choice you have on this issue, well, that's not the one God would want you to take. He wants you on there. But everybody else goes that way. And as you look down that path, if you make that decision as best as you can figure it out, it'll work. You'll get what you want. For example, when I was in college, I wanted to sell my car. I discovered that a bicycle was enough to get me around on campus. I didn't need a car. And in fact, selling the car would get me the college expenses, the money for college that I needed for my second year at college. So I wanted to sell my car. Now, small difficulty. This car has a cracked block. If you don't know what a cracked block is, take my word for it. There was a deep sickness in the car. Now, I have two choices. I have two directions I can go on selling this car. One direction, and I know this is the one God would want me to take. One direction is, whoever comes to buy the car, I have to say to them, hey, it has a cracked block, okay? Whatever you're going to offer me, you have to offer me knowing you're buying a car with a cracked block. Now, I know that's the choice God would want me to make. But if I do that, I won't get the money I need. I'll only get one-fourth of the amount of money that I would otherwise get if it didn't have a cracked block. It won't work. Now, I know God would not want me to do this, but I found out you can go down to the auto parts store, you can buy a can of goop, and you can pour it into the engine block, and it will temporarily cover over any evidence of a cracked block. Now, I know God would not want me to do that, but it'll work. I'll get all the money I need. I went to the auto parts store. Blub, 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 blub. And I sold the car for all the money I needed. You may be a businessman, a business person in a very competitive industry. You know how you'd like to run your business. Open-handed, honest, full of integrity. Your word is your bond. But given the competition, given the unethical practices of your competitors, who are hiring illegals, giving kickbacks to purchasing agents, substituting inferior materials for what the specifications call for, promising delivery dates they know they can't meet, but as soon as the client is hooked in, it's too late for them to back out. In that kind of an environment, if you continue to operate with integrity and honesty as you would like to do it and as God asks you to do, you'll go under. You're not being melodramatic. You'll go under. If you're going to make a reasonable living for your family, if you're going to meet your payroll, given the environment that everybody else is practicing that way, if it's going to work, that's the way it's going to be. You could be a student. You need a certain GPA to get into college or to get into graduate school. Now, ordinarily, your academic abilities are sufficient that if you write your paper, study, read, take the tests, you will do well enough in a class in order to get the GPA that allows you to continue with your education. But in the particular courses that you're in, there's widespread cheating going on. Copies of last year's exam are circulating secretly, and the professor has a reputation for repeating at least three-fourths of the questions in every year. Other students have discovered that on the internet, you can hire PhD candidates to write your term papers. And in that kind of an environment, if you just continue to do your own work, the curve will be so high that your GPA will suffer by comparison. Now, you know God would not want you to do this, but you have a friend who took this course from another professor last year and got an A on their paper, still in their computer. They can email it to you. You can put your name instead of theirs, your professor's name instead of their professor's name, change the date, hit the print button, and out spits a paper that your professor has never seen for this course. It's an A. You could be single. You'd like to be married. Now, the Bible says believers are to marry believers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, you'd like to do that, but nothing's happening. I mean, there were a couple of interesting things, but they didn't last, and that's okay. They weren't that hot. Okay? But now you've met somebody at school or at work. I mean, they are so sharp. They are attractive. They're witty. Your personalities mesh. You've gone out for coffee. You laugh. You invited them to church. They said, nah, it's not my thing. But I don't know.
You could be a Christian wife. You want to change your husband. You married him with love in your heart, but reform on your mind. You want to get him to agree to something. You want to get him to do something. Now the Bible says the way to win your husband is through a gentle, quiet spirit. You tried it. It didn't work. He got worse. Now you know God would not want you to do these things, but they work. They work. The silent treatment, that brings him around. Withhold physical affection. Or the good old standby, nag. Okay. All right, I could continue, but you see what we're talking about? You see what we're talking about? We're talking about times when we are faced with a choice. In our businesses, in our schools, in our dating, in our marriage, we are faced with a choice. There are two options, two directions open to us on any particular issue. One of those directions is the one that God would say for us to go, and in our heart we know it's right, but as best as we can look down that path, it won't work. I won't get what I want. The other choice is one that God would not want me to do, but everybody else does it, and it works. In a time like that, there are some verses in the book of Proverbs that are going to help us. But they're going to help us in a way we don't expect, because we have probably misunderstood them. We have probably thought they said one thing, but they don't. And when we find out what these verses really say, we will see how they help us in this kind of a choice. The verses are very familiar to us. Perhaps we've even memorized them. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 3. We'll begin at verse 5. Proverbs 3. I think if you use a Bible in front of you from the pew, it might be page 458. Somebody check that out, see if I remember that correctly. Proverbs 3. Tell me if page 458 is the right page number. Did I get it? Good. Okay. Page 458 or Proverbs 3. Familiar verses, beginning verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We've memorized them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. Do not lean on your understanding. We think these verses are saying something like this. We think they're saying, when you don't know what to do, just trust in the Lord. And He'll see that it comes out okay. We think these verses are saying something like, when you don't know what direction to go, just put it in God's hands and trust Him. When you're at a loss as to what the right choice or decision is to make, you haven't a clue as to what you ought to be doing, just put it in God's hands and say, Lord, I know that You know, and I'm going to count on You to take care of it all. That's what we think these verses are saying. When you don't know, turn it over to God. They're not saying that. These verses are not talking about a time when we don't know what course to take. These verses are not talking at a time when we are at a loss, when we don't have a clue, when we haven't the vaguest idea of what we ought to be doing. No. These verses are talking about times when we do know, but we think this is a smarter way to go. Notice in verse 5, we do have an understanding. We are told, don't lean on your understanding. Don't trust your understanding. Don't give weight to your understanding. Don't rely on your understanding. If we were to continue into verse 7, it becomes even more clear. In verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not trust how you have figured it out. Do not say to yourself, I can see what's going to happen. No, verse 7 says, if God has called that direction evil, then fear the Lord and turn, shun that evil. Verse 6 is talking about how in the parting of our ways, in all your ways, as they fork out and you have to make a choice which way you will go, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and go His way. These verses are saying that when you and I come to those choices in life, those decisions, when as best as we could understand it, that's not going to work and this will get us what I want. These verses come to us and they say, do not lean on your understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and go God's path. You say, but it won't work. It won't work. I won't get what I want. And that brings us to the central focus point. The key word, the first word, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And my friend, that's the choice we make. We trust our understanding. We trust our ability to look down that path and figure out what it's going to be like. And the Bible says, oh, that would be so foolish to be wise in your own eyes, to lean on your understanding. Or we trust the Lord who is in this path, who is determining what will happen on this path, who controls what this path will bring us. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. You say, I'll go under in my business. No. I will trust that the Lord will bring me clients who will value my integrity and my honesty. Clients who have been burned and who know that my word is my bond and I will do a quality job for them and I will never lead them astray. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. Well, I won't get the GPA I need. You do not know whether teachers will have programs that spot these kinds of cheatings going on, whether teachers now have materials that can search the internets and discover these papers that are floating out there. You do not know what the associations at the schools, the admissions people, how much weight they put on GPA, whether GPA is now one of the lesser considerations and other factors make much more. You do not know. I'll be single all my life. I'll never get married. you do not know who God is planning to move to Long Beach Alliance Church 3 months from now. I know my husband. Do not be wise in your own eyes. My friend, these verses are inviting you and I to see that our God is so big and so strong and so powerful and so loving. We will trust Him with all of our heart and we will go His way. Now, if we're willing to do that, what will God do for us? If you're willing to trust the Lord with all your heart and to walk down His path, what will He do for you? These verses say that God will do three things for you. The first one is in verse 6. He will make your path straight. Look at it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge Him, choose His path, and He will make the path straight. You will start down the path that God asks you to go, and it will be crooked. It will be torturous. It won't be going anywhere. You're not going to get what you... That's why you didn't want to choose it. It doesn't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, you go around one of those crooked bends, and it opens up and goes gloriously straight to what God has for you. He will make the path straight, is what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, enter the narrow door, the narrow gate, okay? Not many people are going to be attracted to it. Not many people will find it and go in through it. But if you get through that door, He says, it leads to life. Avoid the broad gate. Do not enter the broad door. The world streams through that door, but it takes them to destruction. Don't go that route. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And know that two or three bends, it opens up to life. That's the first thing the Scripture says God do for you. There's a second thing. It's at the beginning of verse 8. It will be healing to your body. Now, in my Bible, I've got a little number one by the word body. Do any of you have a little number one by the word body in your Bible? Anybody else got it there? Little margin note. And it tells you to go over to the margin. And the Hebrew word is not the word body. The Hebrew word is what? Navel. It will be health to your navel. You wondered where I got my title from. All right. God says, if you will trust me with all your heart and go my way, it will be good for your belly button. It will be healing for your navel. What's that mean? The picture is of a baby just born, coming out of the mother's womb. The umbilical cord is still attached. Doctor cuts the umbilical cord, ties it up, the navel, the umbilical cord. You ever looked at one of those things? We've had 5 kids. I never got near them while that was still on them. Kind of pussy, kind of ooze, kind of bloody little, it's kind of blue, black. I was always afraid I would accidentally knock it off and it's a navel, the navel. But you put a little salve on that, you put a little ointment on that. It dries up, falls off. A few months later, that little baby's 8 or 9 months, kind of porked up a little bit. Where's the most attractive part of that anatomy you always want to rub? I see your fat tummy. Oh, God says, I will take what looks like a mess and I will make it something that you, ooh, ah. It'll be health to your navel. The third thing, I'll make the path straight. It will be health to your navel. The third thing at the end of verse 8, it will be refreshment to your bones. It will be refreshment. You will have that internal vitality. There will be a spring in your step. There will be a sense of exhilaration, a sense of excitement, a sense of adventure. Oh, man! It'll be just the opposite of what David wrote after he had committed adultery. He said, my bones dried up. I had that. It's how I felt after I sold the car. Couldn't stand looking at myself in the mirror. I keep hoping that somewhere where I'm speaking, maybe somebody will stand up and say, aren't you the guy that sold me that? Let me pay you back. My friend, you will always have a choice. A choice between going God's way without it looking like it's going to work. A choice of always having Satan make the other one look better, but it goes to destruction. Your loving God stands down the path, waving to you, because He knows what He has for you around the bend. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. It'll be health to your navel. It'll be tonic to your whole life. Our Father, forgive us for ever doubting how good, how incredibly good you are to us. How you plan nothing but that which is good for us. How you know yourself to be standing down the path of the future, just longing for us to come down and join you in order that you can show us all the good that you have had. Give us that laughter, that amazement at how good our God is as we put our entire trust in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.